This is something that is so good. And if you haven't been already encouraged and built up and full of joy, just listen to this. For a Christian, earth will be the only hell you will know. I'll say that again. For a Christian, earth will be the only hell you will know. But for a sinner, the earth will be the only heaven they know. Yeah. Pastor Nancy Dufresne has quoted that, and I heard that, and I thought, oh, that's good. I'm gonna take that. But yes, for a sinner, the earth will be the only heaven they know, which is sad because it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. So I just want to tell you, this morning, when Pastor Herman and I were in the back office, we never tell each other what our messages are about unless he would ask us something, and we very rarely do. He had no idea what I'm going to speak on this morning. I didn't tell him in our prayer time. We, you know, didn't mention anything, but I was listening as he prayed for just little things to know, okay, we're, Holy Ghost is always on the right track. He knows exactly what his people need. He knows exactly. You may be smiling, you may be sitting there just all prim and proper, but he knows if your heart is breaking. He knows if there's something that needs to be there's a misalignment in your heart or in your thinking. He knows all of us. And so as we worship, and as we were worshiping, we raise our hands. The Holy Spirit is just moving, and he knows exactly what each and every one of us needs. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's marvelous in doing that. So it's no surprise that I'm going to be speaking on when your well runs dry. Talking about spiritually, when your well runs dry, and we're spiritually speaking. Turn to Isaiah 58:11, and I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. He knows just what we need. Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord shall guide you continually, not hit and miss, not when he's available, not when he's too busy. The Lord will guide you continually." And listen, and look at this next word. "And satisfy you in drought and in dry places." This is the Amplified. For those that are just coming in, I'm going to read that again because this is too good to miss. We want everybody. I know all of you brought your chops, your fork and your knife, and pull up to the banqueting table this morning. Isaiah 58:11, "And the Lord shall guide you continually." Now notice, this isn't general. Yes, we know the Lord guides. We know that he satisfies. But this particular passage here is saying he guides and satisfies us when we're in our dry places. I think if I asked all of you, has anybody here been spiritually dry, maybe in a desert, maybe in a wilderness, when things just seem like, you know, nothing's working, nothing's moving. You pray and it just seems like the heavens are hollow. God's not anywhere around. He's written you off. He's not listening to you. You just feel like you're not growing. Prayers aren't being answered, et cetera, et cetera. We've all been in dry places, spiritually dry. As Pastor Herman mentioned this morning, spiritually you can say dehydrated. I like that too. Yeah. And this passage says that the Lord said he'll continually guide and satisfy you. Because when you're dry spiritually, you need guidance. And you need to be satisfied with the right things when you're spiritually dry. Because you can reach for other things that are harmful for you. You can reach for things. Years ago... when I was still single, when I a couple years after I came to Maui. This was ages ago. Back in the early 1970s, I had taken a class in MCCC, Hawaiiana, and I was just intrigued with everything about Hawaii, the mythology, the everything about it, you know, about the islands, the formations, the volcanoes, just reading about all of the history of Hawaii. And so I learned about, you know, King's Highway. There was a there's a road in the backside of Makena, as a lot of you know, called King's Highway, and it goes past La Perouse. And if you continue on that highway, it'll go all the way over into Honeside, the backside. Now, I was living in Makena. I was renting from a married couple in their home. And so I was pretty close. So one day, you know, my girlfriend, who I usually dive with, she couldn't make it. And I was just so excited to scout out and look out, check out this King's Road, King's Highway. And so I got up early in the morning. Now, I know, I studied a little bit about it, know that it's all lava rock. And the more you get in on the highway, on the road, the lava rock is just in larger boulders and things, and there's nothing green or scenic there. But I just was fascinated with it, and my curiosity says, I'm going to hike that. I'm going to go see as far as I can get. So I set out early in the morning, and the shoes that I had weren't the best shoes, but I wasn't ignorant. I prepared some water. I took a big jug of water, and as I'm walking in, I parked my car by La Perouse, and I'm walking in, and it was a beautiful day. And as I'm walking in, I'm drinking, and I'm drinking, and I'm drinking. And I'm watching my time, too. And I noticed already, I was already on the highway for almost 3 hours, and I drank all my water. And you know, when you're out there in a sun-baked, scorched place, and you run out of water, I tell you, that's a pretty serious situation. So when I realized that, I wanted to go further in, but I thought, I better turn back, because I'm already 3 hours almost into this. That means 3 hours back without water. So I'm heading back, and I can't tell you. I know some of you have been thirsty, but not thirsty like this, where you got fur coats on your teeth and your tongue is like hitting the roof of your mouth, sticking to it, to where, now I wasn't saved at that time, but I would have done almost anything for a bottle of water, something to drink, anything, you know, anything wet, liquid. And I was an hour in, and already I felt I'm not going to make it. I felt faint. When I drank all my water that I had, I had no idea. I don't know what I was thinking, you know, but I was extremely parched. I don't know if I thought, well, there's going to be a 7-Eleven out here somewhere, you know, on the, you know, someplace, a food truck where I can just stop and get something to drink. No, nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. So what I did was, because it became unbearable, when you're thirsty like that, and there's nothing around, no one to call. Back then, I didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones in the high-tech things. I was all by myself. I couldn't even call and ask somebody to come in and meet me, you know, with something, with some water. And so desperation set in, and it's hot, and it's dry, and the heat from the lava rock is even making it more worse. And already I'm getting beside myself, and I'm getting desperate, and I'm just thinking, dear Lord, you know, I don't want to be hallucinating because of the heat and stuff too. And I just kept pushing myself. I got to a point where I was so further in on that lava rock trail, where further down, I don't know how far away it was, but I seen ocean. I said, there's got to be ocean somewhere, and I know it's down this way. So I took an exit road, and I took, and it wasn't marked out or paved or anything, but I was walking on all these big boulders to get to the water, to the ocean. And I don't know how long it took, but I got to a place to where I seen a tree, and I thought, there's got to be ocean water, something. But I bypassed the main road. Long story short, I finally found a little thing of water, and I drank, and it was horrible. It wasn't clean. It was, who knows what was in that water, little critters, things, tadpods, right? When you're thirsty like that, you'll drink just about anything, you know. When you're desperate, when your thirst drives you to a point where it becomes unbearable, where everything within you, Lord, I need a drink. And spiritually, some of you get so spiritually dry where you'll do anything. And sometimes being spiritually thirsty and dry like that, where the Lord says He'll guide you, you need to stay on path, because unlike me, I should have never really took that path, because it derailed me for another hour and a half or so. I had no container, nothing. The water was horrible. It was dirty, but I was just so dry. And when you're thirsty, if you're not careful, and if you're not connected and fellowshipping with God, you can go places, partake of things, drink in of things that are harmful, even deadly for you, you know, if you're not sharp, because you're in such a dry and a thirsty place. But God said here in Isaiah that He will continually guide you, and He will satisfy you. When I finally got in back to the car, I'll tell you what, you know, you just pour the water over your head and over your clothing, and it just, you never appreciate water so much when you're dry like that, when you're thirsty. And never, never get to the place where you're so spiritually dry. Don't let yourself get to that point to where you're thirsting and you start grasping for relief or for something, you know, I need to drink, in all the wrong places. It could be a wrong person. It could be a wrong job. It could be a wrong relationship. It could be wrong something to where you're dry, you drifted away from God. And so you're grasping for something, reaching, that's going to satisfy you. And that's the last thing you need, because only He can satisfy. And He says that He would satisfy us in dry places and make strong your bones. Remember what Ezekiel said, can these dry bones live again? And you shall be like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The New Living Translation says the same scripture, the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched, sun-baked places, and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Yeah. The Lord knows that in our walk with Him, on this journey that each of us are on, He knew and He knows that we're going to come to a place, to a season, where you're going to become dry, where your soul is just discontent. You're just restless within you. And God seems so far. You pray, and then you begin to say, what's going on, Lord? Why am I hate this place that I'm in. I'm dry and I'm thirsty and I'm calling out. Where are you, God? And if you continue in that space, in that season, whether it's a desert experience or wilderness experience, sometimes you can disconnect from God and from fellowshipping with Him, because you feel like He's just written you off. He's nowhere to be found. And it becomes almost unbearable spiritually. Don't ever get to that place to where you feel like, you know, so disconnected from God, because His word says He will continually satisfy us in dry, parched places. And you can just be depleted spiritually, you know, where you just feel like you don't have anything to give. You know, even the thought of praying for somebody, it's like, pray for somebody. I need prayer. I need somebody to lay hands on me. I can't pray for somebody. The thought of leading somebody to the Lord is far from you, because you're empty. You're out of gas. You run dry. You're completely empty. And that's not a good place to be. But it says in Isaiah that He will strengthen you also in your dry place. In Psalm 42, you can turn there, just listen. This talks about David's account. And David was in this place. David was in an extremely, extremely difficult place, a wilderness, dry place. And in chapter 42, verses 2 to 5, he says, "My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me, 'Where is your God?'" And you know, when you're in a place like this too, the enemy will whoop up on you too, and he'll start bringing condemnation. Yeah, where's God? Where's he now? You know, just to get you further drifting away from him, further away. And David felt like this. He said his tears were his meat day and night. He was in a depressed state. He was just beyond discouraged. And he goes, "Why are you so downcast, O my inner self? Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me?" And he's talking to himself. "Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God." David remembered. That's one thing you have to do. You have to remember God. The Passion reads this: "So I speak over my heartbroken soul, take courage." When somebody says, "Take courage," it's something you got to take. Take courage. I take it. I don't have it. When you say to somebody, "Take courage," that means you take it. Take strength. I take strength. That's something you have to receive and take. It's not just a cliche, a phrase that we just throw out there. Take courage. But David is talking to himself, trying to stir himself up, and he's remembering. And so it says in the Passion, "Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out in front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord? You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord." David started remembering these things when he was in his difficult, deeply depressed, not just having a bad day, not just, you know, things weren't working out, he lost a battle, deeply depressed. But the key word was David remembered. In verse 7 in that chapter, it says, "Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your waterspouts. All your breakers and your rolling waves have gone over me." Deep calls to deep, talking about those rivers, those waters, those spouts within you. He says, out of your belly, John says, out of your belly shall flow rivers, plural, rivers of living water. We all have them. We all have that well. But some of your wells are dry. But that's okay. There's help and there's a remedy. So just hang on. Isaiah 12:3 and chapter 44:3 says it this way. You can just listen. "With joy will I draw waters from the wells of my salvation." Chapter 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the ground, on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." I will pour water on your dry and thirsty land. David was in a very, very dry season of his life. But God used this situation, used David's circumstances to cause David to thirst. So sometimes if you're in a dry and thirsty place, it may not be just all you. God doesn't create the situation for you, but he'll use the situation. God doesn't create bad situations, crises, and things to arise in your life. He's not up there in heaven figuring out, you know, divisive things, you know, just to, let's see, watch them squirm a little bit. I'm going to watch them see how they get out of this one. See if they're really going to apply the word, you know. God, the enemy will present situations like this all the time, but God uses them. He uses them. So he used the situation and circumstance David was in. that thirsty, dry place. And he used that to cause David to drink, to cause David to run for living waters. David knew the place where he can be refreshed, where he can just draw out of the well of his salvation. How did he do that? Well, we just read that scripture. He remembered. He remembered. God never forsake you or leave you. But something about being, you know, when I was on that lava rock road, something about how the sun, the thirst, it can play with your mind. It can play havoc with your mind where you're not thinking straight. You're not. I wasn't thinking straight. I was thinking already, well, never mind what I was thinking, you know. But you're not in your right mind when you're that thirsty and dry and to where I'll do just about anything legal just to get my hands on something, you know, to drink. I mean, your tongue, everything within you is dry, dry, dry. And when you're spiritually dry like that, God can use that to allow you and encourage you. All you have to do is just drink. All you have to do. Thirst is a good thing if you're thirsty for the right things, for the right type of drink, living waters. If you go out there into the world and you hit the bars or you hit an old relationship or the enemy will accommodate you that you run into somebody you used to run with, the gang, all of these things that used to satisfy you before you became born again. Oh, they'll pop up out of nowhere. They'll pop up out of nowhere. I didn't even know you were on the island. Where'd you come from? And they'll want to connect and all these things. Things that God delivered you from, brought you out of. When you're dry and thirsty, the enemy will say, hey, that'll satisfy you just a little, just a little bit, just a little bit, you know. A little bit of that substance, a little drink, you know, just to get you out of this, you know, out of this hard place that you're in. So it matters what you grasp for and what you reach for when you're thirsty. And you got to recognize spiritually, I'm in a dry place, but I'm not going to be here forever, even though it seems like you are. But your mind, David remembered. He remembered when he was leading the procession of praise and glorifying God. He brought his mind under the reins of not just thinking, spiraling, thinking squirrely, you know? Do you ever think squirrely? Amen. Couple times you drift off and you go on Facebook. And not very long, but after reading, you know, you'll read some things or something, or there may be a really good quote or preach or something, and this catches your attention. I think, whoa, cocaine in the White House. Oh, my goodness. And you start reading about that, and then, yeah, wow. And after a while, you know, you put that down. My mind was squirrely. It was just all over the place, you know, and I had to reel myself back in and say, I'm disengaging from that, and I'm going to delete and get off of Facebook because really it's not edifying me. It's not building me up. And you know, this is just for me spiritually. I don't know how it affects you. But when you graze and when you feed or when you start drinking in different areas and things like that, you shouldn't. It affects your mind. And you got to pull it right back in again. And right thinking, renew your mind. And it takes work. It takes discipline. Because normally, you know, we just like to flow with these things. We just like to flow. 5 minutes of the word and 4 hours on the internet. You're off balance. That's an uneven balance. That's an uneven scale where it should be the other way around. And to where, so these things just don't affect you. They don't interest you. You know, it doesn't hold your attention. And so, but being thirsty can be a good thing. God will do the same with us today by using your situations, your hard places, your crisis, and cause you to seek after him. But he don't force anybody. He's a gentleman, and it's going to be totally up to you, your will, to seek him. You may say, well, it just seems like the heavens have closed. He's not answering me. Press, press, draw, drink. Amen. All of you, you know, when you were in the world, probably didn't take too hard of a strong arm to get you to drink, you know, didn't do a lot of coaxing to drink. It was easy for you to drink, you know, to go down and pop a cold one or something. And now spiritually, now that you're born again and walking with the Lord, the antidote, the answer to dryness, spiritual dryness, is drink.
Amen.
Drink what? Living waters. They'll refresh you. They'll do a work in you. As Pastor Herman said this morning, you know, when you have flooding and when you have a lot of rain, it changes the landscape of things. And you know, look at the ocean. Look at the shorelines. You go down to a place where there used to be feet of sand over the years because of the water and the constant, you know, erosion. That whole landscaping, that whole shoreline's all completely changed, all by the water. And living waters will change you for the better. But you gotta draw up out of your well, because otherwise it'll just sit there in your well. It'll just stay there. The waters, you have to draw them up. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. Not at all. Because the Holy Ghost wants you to do that, and He'll help you. Spiritual dryness is an invitation just to come to God. That's all it is. Yeah, it's just an invitation to come to Him. Dry seasons can also be seasons of testing and preparation to where God is taking you. You know, a lot of people say, I'm in a desert, or I'm in a wilderness of testing. And sometimes, not again, God puts you there, but He'll use that to test you, see how faithful you're going to be. Using you because He knows the call on your life. He knows what He has for you. And yet, you're in that place, that dry place, but He'll use that, though, because it's part of your preparation. And none of us like places like that. It's uncomfortable. A lot of people will exit the church. A lot of people, you know, drop out. You won't see them for a couple months, and then, you know, they'll come back when come around. It ought not be. Use every situation, every season that you're in. Connect and stay close to God. You know, when we got born again, there's a difference between a relationship and fellowship. A relationship is what we have when we got saved, when we got born again. The relationship is Father God with His daughter Michelle, the Father with His son Jaime. That's the relationship right there. But afterwards, we're to continue fellowship. You know, what is one definition of fellowship? Two fellows in a ship. But, you know, just fellowshipping, talking, spending time with one another. God wants that fellowship. The relationship will always be there. It'll always be intact. Father-daughter, father-son. That's always going to be. You're not a stepchild. You're not an adopted. No, you're not. We're the real deal. We're the heirs of salvation. But fellowship, though, begins. And if you disconnect from your fellowship, guess what? That's going to knock you right back into a dry place, because you cut off your fellowship with Him. You've disconnected. But even then, God will just say, just come on back. Drink. Take a drink. Take a drink. Take a nice, long drink. Yeah. God has to know that before He gives you more, whether it's more anointing, your own ministry, whether you grow in certain areas, whatever it is, before He gives you more, you have to show Him that you've been faithful and responsible with what He's already given you. There's no instant, you know, promotion. Promotion doesn't come from, you know, the east and west. It comes from God. God promotes. He raises up one and puts down another. And so you have to show Him, not that you're trying to prove, but prove yourself faithful to what He's given you, whether it's one talent, five talents, whether it's 10 talents. and be consistent. You pray and ask God, give you your own ministry. I've been here in this church and it doesn't seem like they're using me, and I got, you know, all this musical abilities and whatnot. Or you're maybe in another ministry and it seems like you're not growing, or God, but God's looking at your church attendance. You come once a month, maybe you come twice a month. You tithe when it's convenient for you. Pastors ask you to do something and you got an excuse, kind of busy, and yet you want God to give you more. Well, he's testing and looking at these things in your life, testing your faithfulness, testing your character. And it's not just a year, it's years and years. Pastor Herman and I were at this church 38 years serving. And not to put, you know, anything on us, but you just be faithful. We knew that this is where God called us, and we were under three different administrations, and learned and gained a lot from all three of them. It was wonderful. We seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, all three, but still remain, still stuck with it. You know, still stuck with it. In the midst of everything, when man fails, when man goes, oops, I dropped the ball, I missed it, God never will miss it. He'll never drop the ball. Stay faithful to him. Stay faithful to God. God will make things right. He will. It may take some time, but it's not in our timing. It's not according to us. God has to know that you're not going to bail on him when you're in a difficult and an unfruitful season. The worst thing, again, you can do is get mad and hold a grudge against God. Amen. I know some people that are mad and angry at God today. They are. Well, I would never do that. A lot of people are angry at God because he didn't heal them the way when they thought they should be healed, when he didn't come through, when this was happening to their son or their daughter or to them personally. Where were you, God? And they're angry. They're hurt. A lot of people are, and that's the best and the quickest way to put you in a dry season, being mad and distancing yourself from God. Get with God and have a conversation with him. Say, God, come here, can we talk? You know, Brother Reverend Jesse Duplantis always does that. God, come here, get some Don on. Yeah, come here, we need to talk. And talk to God and say, you know, I'm upset. I'm angry. And tell him and pour your heart out. He's not going to play hide and seek with you. He's not going to avoid you. He wants to restore that fellowship back with you. Get you out of that dry, crusty season to where you almost, when you walk, you creak. You know, it's like crunch, crunch. You know, it's like, oh, you know. And it's not a comfortable place to be, but just know that it's temporary. And you have control of how long you stay there or not. Now, some seasons last longer, but even in your dry season, just drink. Amen. In John 4:14, turn there real quick. In John, the fourth chapter, verse 14. We all know this passage really well. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well, whoever takes a drink of this water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing continually within him unto eternal life. This woman was thirsty, not in the natural. She had five husbands, five marriages, failed marriages, and she was living with someone. So you can tell, that tells you something about, you know, her history, relationship-wise. She's really had a go of it, you know, some hardships, maybe some abuse, maybe a poor self-image, who knows, but five marriages can really do a number on you, you know. And here she is, last one didn't work, and here she is in another relationship living with the man. And Jesus, you know, operating in a word of knowledge, just read her mail and says, you can have this water, but before you do, go get your husband. And then thank God she was honest and transparent with Jesus, because Jesus would have seen right through that. And that's when he told her, you're right, you don't have a husband. You're living with someone. You've had five husbands. But he tells her, though, reads her mail and says, this water that I'm to offer and give you, you'll never thirst again. No, never. And it will be a spring of water welling up, flowing continually within you. And so she questions him and says, well, who are you? You know, you thinking you're better than our fathers and our ancestors, Jacob? And this is, after all, this is Jacob's well. And she mentions something about the Messiah. And then Jesus reveals himself to a Samaritan woman. They didn't even talk to each other, the Jews and the Samaritans. And ever, they had nothing to do with one another. Yet Jesus reveals to her who he is. And he says, I am he. I am the one. I am Messiah. I am the one that has come, the bread of life. And so if you drink of me, you will not be thirsty anymore. So what's the remedy for thirstiness? Yeah. First, recognize that you're thirsty. Shouldn't be hard to do, because in the natural, we all know that tendency. Recognize that you're spiritually thirsty. And the next step would be, and these are all simple, this is not new, fresh revelation, deep stuff, practical things. But we got to be reminded, because I know that there are some spiritually dry people here today, or else the Holy Spirit would not have ministered the way he did today and in preparing this message. But we all need to drink more. Remember, some of you hadn't drunk since Reverend Joe Siegel and Amy came. Remember when they ministered and everybody was laughing and rolling on the floor and drinking? Some of you haven't had a drink since then. That's been a while. That's been months. It's too long without a drink. It's way too long to go without a drink. Take a step towards the presence of God and simply drink. Just simply drink. Psalm 63:1 says this out of Amplified. O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. David really knew. He was familiar with being dry, being in that excruciating place where it seemed like everything was just closing in around him. But David remembers. And in closing, again, I want to tell you with this scripture, John 7:38. This should be a scripture on your refrigerator door, in your car. Better yet, put it on the tablet of your heart. Out of your belly, or out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. You have to draw it out. You have to draw it out. Your pastors can draw it out of you. We can't just, you know, in a prayer line. We can't draw it out. We can maybe help you, direct you, but, you know, just like that old cliche, that saying, you can show a horse where the water is, but you can't force them to drink. You can't be forced to drink, but why would you not want to drink when you're thirsty? You can joy, laugh yourself right out of your dry season. You can. You can just joy yourself right out of it. Laugh. And that's where a lot of you got to renew your minds when it comes to this joy flow and flowing in this Holy Ghost joy, where it's not just getting into your emotions. God is so much deeper than that. The Holy Ghost is pulling some things out of you, maybe placing some things back there, rearranging some things, deleting some things. When you laugh, when you joy, It's good medicine. Medicine is going into you, whether you realize it or not. Yeah, you're on the floor laughing, and it just seems like, you know, and it feels good, and you haven't laughed for a long time. But there's a lot more going on behind the scenes on the inside of you than just that laughter. And simply, a lot of you may not just know simply how to yield to it, just to take that first step. Reverend Joe kickstarted it, you know, with us. Ha, 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 ha. And the more you do it, the more easier it is just to flow and to step into it, just to step into it to where you're flying. Yeah. Pastor Noel, oh my goodness. Yeah. He just second and he's into it already. Yeah. And you know, the first time when you start trying, it may seem dry and may seem like, what's the ha? Ha, 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 and just keep at it. What are you doing? You're drawing. You're drawing out of your well, putting down the bucket, drawing out, drawing out. May seem dry, may seem a little crickety, but when's the last time you put your bucket down to withdraw water? You know, some of the well may just have a lot of rocks in it. Don't worry about it. God will fill that well back up again. Holy Ghost has a fresh supply, living waters, living waters. We just read, Jesus said, yeah, he has the living waters that he'll give us. And I'll close with this. Love this story. We don't have time to read the whole account, but in Judges 7, Gideon's army of 135,000, or well, it wasn't, no, 135,000. It was 32,000 men that he had. And God tells him, that's way too many, way too many. So he says, call the men together and ask them, who's terrified? Who's afraid? You know, because they were going to go into battle against the Midianites, and there was 135,000 Midianites. So he calls them together, short, you know, condensing the account. And he says, who's terrified? Who's afraid? And a lot of 22,000 men raised their hand, and he sent them home. Go, go. Get out of here, you wimps, you know. Gee whiz, 22,000. You know, just like, you know, with their tail between their legs, you know. Trained for war, trained for battle. 22,000 men terrified and afraid. Sounds like Saul's army when they sing Goliath. You know, and then David comes, a little runt. Who's this uncircumcised feel? Shouting, cussing, and assaulting and making fun of us, you know. I'll take care of this, you know. So 22,000 left and went home, and 10,000 stayed. And then God tells Gideon, still too much. And Gideon probably stopped and thought, wait a minute, am I hearing right? I mean, God, there's 135,000 Midianites. And you're telling me to send more home, that I have too many men. Well, God didn't want them to take the glory and the credit for it. He wanted them to recognize God's doing this. God's bringing the victory. So we all know that it whittled down to 300 men. But in the process, God says, I want to see something. I'm going to test the man. And I'm going to test him by seeing how they drink. Takes them down to the river. And there were some guys, boy, I'll tell you know, knew how to drink. That's the ones that God kept and says, these are the ones you keep with them. These are the 300s. The other ones, send them back home. They don't know how to drink. Sissies, babies. They're drinking with their little pinky, you know, like with a little, with the teacup, you know, dignified. Yourself, you know, you don't want to, when the flow of, when the Holy Ghost is moving with joy, you want to be dignified and stay in your seat. And you don't want to be moved, so you just sit there with your, you know, the little English with your pinky up in the air. You know, keep my dignified self. I'm not going to roll on the floor and laugh. No. But those, they got sent home. But it was the ones that knew how to drink. just drinking. Not looking around, you know, who's watching me. Drinking. Because they were just, yeah, because they were thirsty. And the Bible says that as a result, 135,000 Midianites were delivered into their hands. Why? Because they knew how to drink. They knew how to drink. And God gave them the victory. But the test was, take them down. I want to see. I want to see how they drink, they lap up the water. Yeah, it's a great account. Read it. It's in Judges 7th chapter. Just read the whole thing. Well, Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you that as our descendants and our forefathers went before us, Father, they walked these places that we walk in now. Even some today are thirsty, dry. David was one of them. There were so many of your prophets even that were dry and weary and running from Jezebel and just in terror, afraid. And Father, we know, Father, that these mighty men, these ones that we can take example from, made it through, and we watch their example, specifically David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered, and he drank. He drank from these living waters. And that's what you want us to do this morning. You're reminding us, you don't have to stay in your dry places. You don't have to stay there. But when it seems like I'm so far away, actually I'm not. I'm right here. Did I not tell you? Did I not say I would never, no, never leave you or forsake you? I'll never leave your side. Maybe you have left me. Maybe it's just these things. Sometimes being in a dry season, we think we've sinned. We think that it's something that we've done. It could just be a culmination of different situations. But nevertheless, we all know our way back home, and that is to drink. That is to take our thirst and say, Lord, I'm thirsty, I'm dry, I'm not going to deny it. I can't stand this place that I'm in, and I have to have these living waters. And I must have them. I don't want to go on like this in my walk with you. It's a place I never want to go back to. The desert and the wilderness areas are areas, they're hard places. They're dry, parched land where they're sun-baked, and they offer me very little. But Father, if you want to use me in these places, in these dry places, draw out of me, Lord, and place something back into me, Father. Father, whether it be a time of testing or preparation for what you have in store for me, so be it, Lord. But nevertheless, I will lower my bucket down into the well and drink, not a little cup, not a little teaspoonful, but drink, because you told us that we can drink all we want, all we want. So if there's anyone here that's thirsty, and we've all been there. I've been there. I've been in so many dry places I couldn't even tell you. You know, we all have. But you know what? Pride will tell you just to cover it up and just, no, I'm good, I'm good. Where everybody around you knows you're dry. Everybody knows. Your dog knows. Your wife knows. Your cat knows. Your kids know. Everybody knows. Your boss even knows. And you're saying, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. So push aside all of that. I'm dry. I want to drink this morning. If that's you, come down and we're going to lay hands on you and get the river flowing again. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I know we already laid hands earlier in the service on you. And if you feel like that got the river going, moving in the right direction, praise the Lord. That's great. But if you think,